This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, a mostly risk-on atmosphere across grains, livestock, energies, and the stock market on Friday as the trade headed to the weekend and prepared for Monday's WASDE report. Welcome into Market Talk. Appreciate you joining us once again, making us part of your day. As always, great to be here. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for being here today. We have a lot to discuss on the show, and thank you for joining us here. Hopefully, you're going to enjoy our discussions today. Again, a really risk-on type of environment seen on Friday, pretty much across the board. We're going to discuss the markets in depth, coming up with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing. He is going to join us as we prepare for Monday's September WASDE report, those first boots on the ground in-field estimates of the quarter soybean crop across the country here this year from USDA. Going to be a very pivotal report. A lot of folks in the trade are anticipating that the national corn yield is going to go down. We just don't know how much USDA is going to be willing to lower that national estimate on corn. And a lot of folks think soybeans are going to stay pretty much as is, right around that trend line yield, around 51.5, 52, somewhere in that region. We're going to discuss that with Dwayne Bussey coming up, get his thoughts on what we could see from USDA and just the general trade action that we saw on Friday. Also, we're going to dive into the cattle market a little bit more. Been an interesting week in cattle, pretty lackluster cash cattle trade. A lot of things swirling around this market here as we move out of the Labor Day holiday and out of the grilling season for the most part. Chris Swift of Swift Trading Company, based in Nashville, is going to join us coming up here later in the show in segment four to discuss what is going on currently in the cattle market. So looking forward to that as well. Well, first up, though, let's get some thoughts on Friday's trade action. I talked with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, for our midday commentary on Friday. And as I was talking to Arlen, we were seeing that general risk-on sentiment across grains and livestock and energies and the stock market. And a lot of it could probably be attributed to a lower U.S. dollar index on Friday. We saw a lower U.S. dollar after the European Central Bank. They increased their interest rate overnight into Friday, and many people expecting a smaller increase here in the U.S. in Tuesday's report on U.S. consumer prices. So a lower U.S. dollar seemed to lift a bit of a weight off of commodities and allow things to trade higher on Friday in that risk-off sentiment. And that was my first question to Arlen in the midday commentary. Was the risk on trade basically just tied to a lower U.S. dollar, or were there other factors? And that's how we start our conversation. Here's comments with Arlen Suderman of StoneX.
Yeah, pretty much across the board, we're seeing concerns on Wall Street ease today with the VIX pulling back below 23 for the first time in a couple weeks. A dollar pullback, notably from a 20-year high set earlier this week. That combination gives a little bit more confidence for the fund managers to put money into the equities and in the commodities. And so we're seeing positive money flow pretty much across the board today, and that's helping the grain and oil seeds really position for Monday's USDA WASDE report. General expectation is that we're going to see the corn and soybean yields slip a little bit, corn more than beans, but based on some of the reports we're hearing from the western Midwest, that has been very dry over the last 30 days of grain filling. There's concerns that we may be surprises to the low side on the yield. And so nobody really wants to be short these markets going into the report. That's providing fundamental support for a market that's generally seeing good money flow into them today.
I would have to think with a bit of a rally here today, it's probably a good time for farmers and ranchers to look at their risk management plan, especially heading into a very big, important report such as this September report on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. And the key is that the September report is now the first report with production estimates from USDA based on actual field sampling. And so in those years when we do have seed size issues in the crop, which you would anticipate that risk in a year like this west of the Mississippi, that starts to show up in the September report. If it doesn't, then we can anticipate that these year's crops really weathered the storm pretty well. As a former agronomist, that's difficult for me to accept, but it could be a possibility. If they do see the lower than expected yields, then that would suggest that we see even lower yields in October, largely based on those shrinking seed size that ultimately only the combine truly picks up.
Well, Arlen, as well, livestock are seeing some decent strength here today in the general risk on tone. But I know cash cattle trade's been kind of lackluster here this week. Any thoughts in this cattle or hog market here as we head to the weekend?
Yeah, cash cattle trade basically a steady at 141 in the south and 142 to 146 in the north, 226, 227 on a dress basis in the north. And that was down a couple. So generally disappointing. We thought we'd see stronger cash cattle markets this week. And so that's one reason we saw some weakness earlier in the week. But overall, we kind of finished well. Export data that came out yesterday showing that exports have been really strong. In fact, year to date, we're now at record large and up 5% from last year. That goes along with decent domestic demand. Imports are falling off this summer as well. And that has boded well for this beef market and helped keep the packing margins good. And so the cattle market anticipating now decreasing numbers in the fourth quarter and even smaller numbers as we get into next year due to all that herd liquidation we saw over the last couple of years.
And again, that's comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, from our midday commentary. A few other notes here in the world of agriculture. 2022 has been a challenge for ag retailers and their customers due to supply shortages and high prices. Crop Life magazine says global uncertainty has affected key fertilizer sources like Russia, China, Ukraine. We've seen all of this, and it's added more stress to the marketplace since last spring. Well, looking ahead to fall, the view of most ag retailers is mixed. Stephen Page of EDC Ag Products in Texas says, quote, "We're bullish on fertilizer sales this fall. Higher than expected commodity prices and falling fertilizer prices mean end users will be replacing nutrients in their soil," end quote. Now, Matthew Taylor of Nutrient Ag Solutions in Colorado says he's also optimistic, saying, quote, "Application season should be strong as long as there's a good application window. Continuing supply chain challenges and overseas events are still a drag on the industry, but overall the fall application season should be good," end quote. Now, even less than positive retailers say their outlook could change with the right conditions. And also a report from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange says the widespread outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza that hit U.S. poultry production has subsided. Case numbers significantly dropped as temperatures rose and the migratory season for wild birds ended. However, the risk of another outbreak this fall remains elevated and the stakes for poultry producers, they will be high. As poultry product values had increased substantially before this year's outbreak due to tight supplies and strong consumer demand for animal protein products, the added burden of supply shocks caused by HPAI made tight market conditions even worse, sending value skyrocketing. And it's something that we're going to have to watch closely as we move into the fall, as that risk again remains high as migratory season picks back up into the fall. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at markets. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, will join us. We're back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now in the hot seat on today's show, well, I don't know if it's really a hot seat here on Market Talk. Maybe we'll call it the discussion chair or something like that. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, joining us here today. Dwayne, good to catch up with you again, sir. How are you?
Doing real well. It's that fall time of year, kids back in school, busy with fall sports, but it's all very good. Excited for Friday night football and yeah, enjoying life. I love the fall season.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit before we jumped on the air. It makes for a busy time when you're running around watching the kids and also getting ready to hop at a combine here pretty quickly. In your case, I know harvest is going to be creeping up here real quick. And you know what's creeped up on us as well, Dwayne, is this September WASDE report out Monday. I want to start there with our discussion. Looking at the average trade estimates, the average estimate on corn yield, 172.5, a range 170.6 to 174.9. I wonder, if say we get a 172.5 from USDA, is that neutral? Is that bullish? Is it even bearish when it comes to corn prices, you know, after good buying that we've seen on Friday? I should reiterate that. But what are your thoughts going into Monday and that average trade estimate for corn first?
I think if they would come out with the average trade estimate and print that number of that 172.5, I think that's a bullish number. You know, a lot of people talked about once we get up to the 680 December corn, you know, that's high enough until we find yields below 170. I actually kind of disagree with that. I think we'd be at 7 to 720 if USDA confirms it. I think that's what we're waiting for now, is for them to confirm that this crop isn't as big as we thought a couple of months ago, not nearly as big as I thought it was a couple of months ago. So, no, I think that would be a bullish number. And here's a twist, Jesse, is even if it's a bearish number at 173.5, which is probably more where I'm at, I don't know if the trade really crashes either. I think the trade kind of goes, yeah, you're slow playing it, and you'll have time to decrease it in the upcoming months. So I hate to predict these reports because it seems like I'm always wrong, or the trade goes against what I, even if I pick the report right. But I'm leaning friendly corn into this report, no doubt about it.
Well, and it looks like the harvested area number estimate looks to be, average trade estimate looks to be pretty close in line with the August number. I don't think we're going to see many changes there on the corn side. Production would be down, obviously, if we have, you know, lower production, lower yield estimate. But those average, I'm with you. It's hard to predict the report, but this September report, of course, the first boots on the ground estimates from USDA. So one has to wonder, you know, what we're going to see. And I wonder if Friday's action with a lower U.S. dollar giving us that sentiment for a little risk on trade across pretty much across the entire board, if that gave us a reason to kind of, you know, run up a little bit here into this report. Maybe people don't want to be short going into the report.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. Yeah, it really does help that U.S. dollar going lower today to end the week, because earlier in the week we're making 20-year highs and recession talk is out there that, you know, Europe's going to be in trouble. And if the euro goes down, then of course, yeah, the U.S. dollar is going to go up. Yeah, I think you're right. Whenever we can avoid that recession talk type days, we seem to have these solid up days, because I think the funds want to be long these markets now, thinking that maybe this is actually the safe haven as far as their investments, especially those index funds. They're the ones that are long only, you know, they're either long or they're just out of the market. They actually got out of a lot of positions here this late summer on the corn market. And I think they're building those positions back up. And if you want to feel good about those positions, just find out that the U.S. supply is tighter, right? That's all you really need to do to feel good about it. And to your point, you know, if they lower that yield, yeah, that our production number with a tiny bit lower, acreage harvested, geez, that production number drops about 300 million bushels. And, you know, last year we're at 1.55 billion and we ran to what, $8+ on the board. If we're talking to 1.2 now, it's hard for me not to get bullish this market, you know. And you and I have talked before about some gaps up there in that 730 area. And I guess that's kind of my target for the corn futures this winter, and maybe sooner rather than later, but we'll see. Time will tell.
On the soybean side, Dwayne, you know, I think there's a lot of thought in the trade that we're not going to see much of a change in the yield estimate from USDA, but I wonder what you're hearing from folks you talk to. What are you hearing from farmers across the, mainly the Western Corn Belt, upper Midwest? I mean, is there potential this soybean yield estimate holds? Because I know here this past week, this soybean chart has looked pretty scary, pretty iffy outside of Friday's action.
Right. Yeah, I'll say this about the Western Corn Belt. We sure wish we had another rain or two to finish the soybean crop off. A couple of weeks ago, I was like, yep, nope, I think USDA has it pegged right. We're going to have a big yield. And maybe the Eastern Corn Belt can make up for the West, but it just didn't finish like I wanted it to. Now, the soybeans are just impossible to forecast as far as a yield. I won't even give it a shot on my own farm, so I don't know how to predict it nationally, but I still think USDA is right. You know, let's consider it being a big crop until proven otherwise. But man, I think a rain here late August, September would have really made a world of difference. I'm in a small area that's still pretty green. It looks pretty good. But you travel south of my area, which is northeast South Dakota, through South Dakota, boy, she dried up in a hurry. And, you know, obviously the Pro Farmer Tour found that in southeast South Dakota. But, yeah, so maybe we're trending lower. But, you know, I think the trade estimate has us down like almost a half bushel an acre. And I don't know if we're going to make that drop or not. But if we do, Jesse, or even stay the same, here's the fun thing is our ending stock is still fairly tight, below 300 million bushels. So there again, too, even if you give me a bearish report, I don't think the market's going to care that much. Now, soybeans, you mentioned the chart being ugly. That's because soybeans are tied more to the outside markets and money flow more than any other commodity we basically trade. But it was interesting. We broke that support this week on the chart when we went below 1376 in November beans, and then the sellers dried up. And without anyone to push to sell it even more, the buyers felt confident to come back in. And now we're ending the week on a very nice positive note. So again, it feels like below $14 is somewhat support, which is fun as a producer myself to say under $14 is support for soybeans going into harvest.
Well, and as well on the soybean side, I know we've had the news this week out of Argentina, their peso to dollar ratio, the government trying to get beans out of the hands of farmers. And they've done that here this week in Argentina. How much do you think, though, now that we've kind of gotten past the initial movement, I think, of beans from there? I mean, how much does that story really play into this bean market, do you think, moving forward? It feels like a Band-Aid to their broader economic issues in Argentina right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. Because, I mean, it's a temporary fix to their currency to get some producers to sell the soybeans. And like you said, it worked. I think it was like 3 million metric ton in 3 days. So they did sell rather aggressively. But, you know, they're not going to keep that fixed there all the time for them. They'll take it away and then selling will dry up. And, I mean, these are beans that were going to hit the market eventually anyway, I think. I think the bigger story in South America that's a little bit bullish this market is finding out this week that La Nina is going to extend out to the end of this year. Of course, La Nina means, you know, hotter, drier, especially for South America. Now, they'll start planting beans as we start harvesting, right? But a lot of times you'll hear they wait for the rains to come before they start planting. Well, if La Nina is there and it extends the dry season a little bit longer and they plant, say, 2 weeks later than normal, that just extends our export window to China, you know, hopefully anyway. So I think there will be a bullish story there. Remember, we already pegged Brazil's crop at this huge record, so that if we start to talk drought, even in the next couple of weeks, that'll help pull up the soybean market, I think, a little bit more.
Duane, on the overall action Friday across the board, I know you mentioned to me before we went on the air that it was kind of a low volume day. Even though it was a good day Friday, it was kind of low volume across the grains especially. Talk about what you saw on Friday.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of thought we were going to just lull into sleep after about 9:30, because, you know, it seems like the funds came in and bought the market, and, you know, the stock market was higher, crude was higher. I understand this being higher, but I thought, you know, now with a report coming in a weekend, we're not going to see buying. But boy, we really pushed all the way into the close, continuing to make highs as you get into the last hour. I was impressed with the market today. Like you said, maybe people just don't want to be short this market, don't want to be short going into this report, which is a good sign. But also, you know, my ears perk up just a little bit that, like, well, remember which way everyone's leaning into these reports, you know. So it's funny, I know I've talked very bullish going into this, but I also look and go, you know, 680 plus December corn going into harvest, is nothing wrong with that, especially if a producer out there listening has a really big crop coming. If he wants to buy some put options for next week, there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm sure I'm not going to stop him.
And again, that is Duane Bussey of Bolt Marketing. He is our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. We'll continue our conversation coming up after the break. A few closing numbers from Friday. December corn up 16 and a half, 685. November beans up 26 and a quarter, 1412 and a quarter. October bean meal up 570 a ton, 41480. October bean oil up 164 points, 6668. December Chicago wheat up 40 and a half, 869 and a half. December KC wheat up 36 and a quarter, 929 and a quarter. December spring wheat up 29 and three quarters, 928. October hogs up 105, 93.17. Feeder cattle September up 67 at 183. And October live cattle up 130 at 145.67 on Friday's trade. Again, coming up, we're going to continue our conversation with Duane Bussey of Bolt Marketing. We'll be back with more on Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk here today. Jesse Allen with you. Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing is our guest analyst here today. And Dwayne, kind of piggybacking off some things you said here in the last segment, thinking about coming into harvest, you know, typically we make a harvest low, yet we're seeing some pretty good prices on the board, Dwayne. So, you know, thinking about that, I would have to think risk management is probably pretty paramount here heading into a big report like we're going to see on Monday, just because, I mean, you mentioned, you know, some of the levels, 680 December corn, give or take, $14 beans, November, give or take. I mean, those are pretty strong levels to hold in case we end up with a USDA surprise. Someone made the joke to me the other day, the S stands for surprise in USDA, and that is possible coming up on Monday, Dwayne.
Well, surprise is a lot better term than I've heard other guys mention to me what USDA stands for, so we'll just drop that and leave that right there. But you're right. These are good prices, but you know, you mentioned the harvest lows, and we made our harvest lows back when we thought this crop was the biggest we had our forecast. And that was back in July. You know, that's where we made our harvest lows. And ever since then, we started to realize the crop isn't maybe quite as big as we thought. And therefore, we started to rally since then. And that's when the funds were at their lowest level as far as the amount of longs. And now they're starting to build those longs again. And really, that's all I need to know to feel good about a market is which direction the funds are heading. And you know, in corn, they're definitely buying. Beans, not so much, and I understand it. We don't quite know, and Brazil has that big crop. But me, with my bullish story of La Nina, is probably going to be a story here the next, well, until the end of this year in South America, and that's all we need is a weather scare, and that'll go. Now, China's demand, you know, is definitely in question, but any stories out of China, Jesse, I kind of question anyway. I mean, to me, China, if I wanted soybean prices lower, I'd put out a story saying I'm questioning demand. We don't need it as much because then they'll get them cheaper anyway.
Well, let's turn our attention to the wheat market a little bit, Dwayne. That kind of had its own storylines to follow here this last week. Obviously, Russia President Putin's comments about the Ukrainian grain deal really felt like it kind of sparked some wheat buying. And then, you know, we kind of pulled back as we worked through Thursday, and then we've basically got all that back. And then some on Friday. Lower dollar, I would have to think, really helping wheat. But what's your thoughts in this wheat market here after this week and headed into the report on Monday?
I'm a bull in the wheat market too. Man, I'm not always bullish. You know me well enough to know I'm not. I'm sure sounding very bullish here as I talk, but for good fundamental reasons behind wheat. You know, we made a nice harvest low. We erased all the premium we had in the Ukraine and Russia war, right? But it's still going on. And like you said, this week, Putin kind of announced, you know, maybe this Ukraine export deal isn't a good deal because the wheat isn't going to the poorer countries. What he failed to mention is the reason it's not going to poor countries because it's very expensive to get it through the Black Sea because insurance is very expensive because he's in the middle of a war there. But I digress. I like the wheat market because I think there's a bullish story coming this winter. And it's not even 100% the war in Russia increasing along the way, along the land, but it's the Ukrainian farmers with very low prices there for their domestic product with a sense of why go out and plant the winter wheat if it's only worth $2 a bushel right now. And I don't even know if I'm going to own that wheat field next year, not to mention, you know, artillery shells flying overhead every once in a while. So I just think there's a story there that they're just not even going to plant it. You know, this last year we rallied up on, will we be able to get the wheat out or not? If they don't plant a lot of it, then there just isn't even the wheat to get out of the country anyway. So it makes me very friendly, that market moving forward.
Well, and I'm just seeing a note as well, Ukraine wheat harvest looking virtually complete, around 19.2 million metric tons. That's down from 33.1 last year. So obviously, right, we've seen the big impact, smaller crop there. And then you throw on top of it to a Russian wheat crop that is reportedly very large, and some of those southern plains risks with getting going with planting. I'm with you. I think there is a lot of fundamentals underneath this wheat market that are bullish, or at least look to be very bullish.
And they really do. Now, here's a great thing for our North Dakota producers that have had tough weather the last couple of years. They're harvesting a great spring wheat crop right now for the most part. I mean, we planted it super late. Guys planted it in June because they said, well, I'm just not going to plant corn this late. And they went back and planted wheat and thought, well, what the heck, maybe. And man, it's coming off great. The weather's been good for it, which we thought would be tough and maybe quality issues, but no, it's coming off really well and some very surprisingly high yields. You can get further north into Canada. You'll find some dry spots, but I think we're going to see a rebound in production. So it's funny, we're talking how bullish we are this wheat market. And I think we're right in that assumption, but you know, it is a good price too. And I'm just happy for the North Dakota guys who haven't had bushels the last couple of years to sell.
Yeah, and I've heard some of those numbers coming off the combine in North Dakota, and I'm with you. They are very good in many areas. But the other comment I've heard is, well, it's very good, but now I need to print a 9 or a 10 or, you know, whatnot in front of this number here. So I think that's something that producers are going to be watching here as we move forward. Talk to me just in general, cash basis across the country. What are your thoughts with how cash basis is looking here as we head into harvest, Dwayne? I'm sure it's still kind of a region by region thing right now.
Well, it's always regional. You're right. But there sure seems to be the same theme out there of, you know, you'll get some spots where the old crop basis is still strong. They're still trying to buy a few more bushels before harvest, but it's nothing like what it was a month ago. The basis is widening out, is falling apart, as well it should. I can talk about a tight supply all I want and a lower yield, but the fact remains, U.S. is not going to run out of corn in the next 3 months. So therefore, the basis is going to be wide. And, you know, if to truly grab all these markets and win at all of them, you could say, basis is one thing you need to do. And the only real way to trade basis is with the physical commodity, right? To actually hang on to it. So I guess I'd suggest to guys, even though these are great prices, you know, to store this stuff, wait for 2 months or so for the basis to get better. Because I think even come January, this basis is going to get quite a bit better. But through harvest, it's going to be a wide basis, maybe not like normal because people are aggressive. But boy, farmers don't need the funds right now. They've had a couple of good years, some government payments mixed in there. Once the bin doors go shut, they're kind of welded shut till after the first year, I think.
I couldn't agree more with you on that. And I think as well, too, as we get into this fall, I think a lot of farmers are going to be watching those drying costs as well. If they got some high moisture crop, what's that going to look like? Could that maybe sway some decisions one way or another, or, you know, keep those bin doors shut? I think that might be the only catalyst to maybe move a little more grain if the price is right and we had a high drying cost, possibly, Dwayne. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly, but you know, the hot, dry September we've had so far, I think, helped push the corn a little bit closer. But you're right, and I think some guys have booked their propane needs so far, and more guys are talking about just, you know, getting it off because, you know, those phantom bushels we tend to lose. So, but you're right, you know, maybe there's something there that maybe pushes, you know, maybe send it to the elevator, let them dry it instead of just throwing it in a bin with air. You know, we've all heard some of those disaster stories. But the one thing I will mention on the energy side is diesel fuel actually concerns me, and not just the price. I'm talking just the supply of it. With what they're pushing through the pipeline right now, I'm afraid when they flip and finally switch to diesel fuel coming up here, it's going to be a little bit too late. So I'm not really good at predicting which way price is going, but I will just tell you, just get it on your farm, because I'd hate to not have a combine run because you ran out of diesel fuel.
That's a great thought. Great advice. Livestock market, we have not touched on that yet today. Just briefly here, cattle, hogs. It's been an interesting week. This hog market's been kind of collapsing a little bit and kind of retracing back down. The cash index has been coming down, kind of getting more in line with October. And then cattle as well, pretty lackluster week in cash country. Any thoughts in this protein sectors? We're kind of moving out of grilling season now, Dwayne.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there with the last statement. We moved out of grilling season. It kind of got to be a blah trading week in the meats, didn't it, a little bit? Demand's a little sloppy. Weights have started to pick up as the temps went down. I mean, carcass weight. So therefore, we have a little bit more production. Packers have a little bit more leverage then. You know, they don't have to pay up to buy those cattle now. They know you have to sell them. So that changes it. So yeah, cash market has been very quiet this week. But overall, happy with the way the livestock futures are finishing the week up here today. You know, rallying back up, you know, with all the recession talk we've talked about, we still got cattle near 150. You know, that's pretty awesome, actually. And the cash feeder market, like in my area, Northeast South Dakota, is just white hot. So I think the Packers are buying a lot of these calves. And if they're buying the calves, maybe we should be listening. So I'm still going to bullish that market as well. The hogs are a little tougher, though. I'm a little concerned. You know, our export demand just isn't quite there. And, you know, obviously the cash market has fallen apart pretty hard to come down and meet the futures. And I think sideways at best in hogs is what I'd call.
Fair enough. Well, before I let you go, any final thoughts you have for us real quick here on the show today?
You know, no, I talk so bullish. And when I know I do that, people tend to like, well, I'm not going to hedge. I'm not going to sell. But I will say going into always those USDA reports, if you can get your hedge account in a spot where you don't care if it's bullish or bearish, you've done your job. You know, so if you've got to buy some weekly put options, then you can cheer for it to go higher. Maybe do that. Other than that, yes, I am leaning bullish and I'm fairly confident you're going to see higher prices here later on.
Well, I know if folks need some advice and will want to talk to you, they could reach out to you very easily there at Bolt Marketing. How could they get a hold of you, Dwayne?
Yeah, hey, they can just call us directly, 605-448-2365, and they can always check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
Well, Dwayne, always a pleasure, sir. Appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse.
And again, that is Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing. Again, learn more online, boltmarketingllc.com. That's how you can get in touch with Dwayne. All right, coming up next, we're not done. We're going to talk about the cattle markets here after this week. We're going to sit down with Chris Swift of Swift Trading Company. We're going to talk to him coming up next as we continue with more market talk. We'll be back right after the break.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And joining us now as we continue to take a look at Friday's market action and wrap up the week, we are joined now by Chris Swift of Swift Trading Company in Nashville. Chris, great to catch up with you again, sir. How are you today?
Jesse, I'm doing great. I certainly do appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thanks for joining Market Talk here today. Let's jump right in, not waste any time. Chris, really strong closes in the grains on Friday and solid closes in cattle and hogs as well. As you look at that livestock sector, look at cattle on Friday, just in general, what are your thoughts as we kind of wrapped up the week in the livestock trade?
You know, not really a lot happened in the live cattle market. We see the production side of it got a little bit better. They slaughtered a few more cattle for the week than what they did in the last couple of weeks. We noticed that boxes were soft towards the tail end of the week. And we know that exports are still very, very good right now for the beef market, and that we've slowed ever so slightly within the southern portions where we had had to liquidate a lot of cows. Some of that is slowing down now tremendously. But other than that, just not a great deal happened in the cattle market. So we were a little bit surprised to see the firmer tone with as much as all other the input costs went up as well.
Yeah, I mean, corn market, especially on Friday, along with beans and wheat, all just kind of moving higher, although looked like maybe a little bit of low volume in the grains. So maybe it was some of that algo trading possibly amplifying the move. But interesting to see us move higher ahead of a big WASDE report on Monday, Chris.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the discrepancy between what last month's USDA came out with the most recent private forecast that we've seen, there's about a 7 to 8 bushel per acre difference in that. And what we're expecting is USDA to maybe narrow that down by 2 bushels an acre. If they were to do that, that might give them enough credibility to say, okay, they are, you know, starting to see some of the changes that the private forecasters do, but what we don't expect is for them to lower it dramatically that might cause a real scare to the market.
Well, Chris, thinking about, you know, input costs, a day like Friday where grains move up, and I think about feedlot country, how dry it's been and how poor some of the corn crop looks in, say, Kansas, for instance. You know, I'd love your thoughts on what we could see possibly moving into the fall. Are we going to have to see a lot of feed come in from other parts of the country, say corn, for instance, or are producers maybe going to look for some other sources, considering corn, you know, high priced, might cost a lot to truck it in or bring it in by rail? What's your thoughts with as we get into this fall when it comes to feed across feedlot country?
Well, it's going to be basis more than anything. And as you say, the transportation issues are going to be very difficult. What we see primarily in the Southeast here is an inability to unload grain. We have lots of abilities either at our barge ports or even at some of the rail elevators. We have lots of ability to load, but we have very little ability to unload. When you get out into the Midwest there, granted, they have rail capability to unload there, but we can't seem to get the rail cars down there. So transportation logistics is going to be very difficult, and that is going to create a significant amount of basis spread trading.
As well, as I look at cattle specifically a little bit more too, I know you and I were talking about this earlier this week, Chris, just looking at this cattle market and how it feels like a lot of people have been fairly bullish and bullish and bullish and bullish, yet we've kind of just been at this plateau and been stuck. And I have to ask, I mean, do you think that this might be it for cattle? Is this kind of the level we're going to stay at for a while, or do you think there's another leg higher here possibly?
You know, we all tend to look back to history to try to foretell the future. And we have a great example, not only here in the United States, but in Australia as well, of major droughts caused significant liquidation. Then we went into excessive expansion. And the thing that I'll note is that Australia has already been through an expansion phase. Their expansion phase has been unable to bring the level of numbers up to pre-drought condition or pre-liquidation. So other factors have hampered that, a lot of it just being the price of cattle alone. Here in the United States, we put close to $30 on the price of feeder cattle. We have not put that much on the price of fat cattle, maybe 12 to 15. So it's not so much that we're not going to see higher prices, we're not seeing any margin increase. Higher prices do not necessarily make for profit margins on there. The price has to continue higher. And in answering your question, we may have beat everybody to the punch. We saw the aspect of a great need to expand in the market. And yet from a fundamental standpoint, we don't have the hay production to be able to do that yet. So we know we can rail feed everywhere, but we can't do much with hay. And trucking hay from one end of the nation to the other is very cost inefficient. And we just don't see that as much in that. So all in all, I think maybe we beat everybody to the punch in price. And now we wait to see when expansion really does start. A, it may be months down the road now and nobody can handle this great amount of weight that they have acquired, or it could just filter in very, very slowly and not have a 1 or 3 month dramatic impact where you just pull all the cows and heifers out of the slaughter mix and make for a hole in the market. That's what I don't see. I don't see that opportunity to make a big hole in the market.
Well, and you mentioned those profit margins, and I know that that is a bigger issue, I think, a broader issue for a lot of our ranchers across the country, just with high price of inputs, et cetera, et cetera. You hit a lot of those points. I think profit margins, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch as we move through this fourth quarter and into the beginning of next year, what those profit margins overall look like, Chris.
Oh, absolutely. And we already know that they're squeezed to begin with. We understand that there are some companies within the vertical integration. There are some that are large enough to have alternative marketing agreements with the packers or with an end meat supplier. All of those factors will have to continue in order to bring more margin into it, or you have to have a significant increase in the price of beef. And that's one thing that we're not really seeing with the boxes now trading back under $260. We're not seeing the consumer in a financial standpoint position to be in a willing spot to increase either consumption or pay a higher price for it.
Hog market real briefly as well. I know this cash index has kind of been taking a beating. It's getting closer and closer to that front month October contract. Any thoughts with what you've seen in the action in the hog market here in recent days in the last week or so? It feels like we're getting ever closer to marrying up the cash index with that front month contract once again.
Well, and we truly are. And the futures do settle to the index. So they will come together within the last 2 or 3 days of it before expiration. In the hog market, we have really curtailed our hog production down dramatically. We'll get a quarterly hogs and pigs report at the end of September. I think the only thing that you might see change-wise is it stays status quo instead of another percent or 2% lower in all hogs and pigs, or even the new the farrowing intentions. I think what you'll see is more stability in that, where we have in the past quarters we've seen a decline.
Chris, as well, before we wrap it up, I know, again, that report coming up on Monday, that WASD report. Any other final thoughts or advice you would have for folks heading into that report? I always like to, you know, think about the fact that we don't want to get caught up in a big report day necessarily and trade day to day. We want to have that long-term management plan. But I know a lot of folks are still maybe going to get caught up in some of those numbers coming up on Monday. So what would be some final thoughts heading into a big report day?
Well, I think what you got to look at, again, like, you're right. If you start trading for this event on Monday, you're very much behind the eight ball. The volatility for the options especially will create a much worser condition to have to do things in. So a little bit of planning out in front of this, regardless of what the numbers come out at, we believe that there is a lower corn crop out there and the greater propensity of higher prices than lower prices. So the most simplistic way to go about it is to pick a point where you no longer want to assume risk. You're a cattle feeder, you are a poultry producer. Wherever you are in that need for corn, pick a price, and you've already got that price in your head because prices have been higher in the future. You say, I started losing money or started losing margins at X price. Pick that price, buy a call option at that strike price, pay the premium for it. If the market goes up, then you get to write that premium onto whatever losses that you've incurred on the feed bill. If the market goes down, every time you're buying corn cheaper, you add a few cents of that premium that you paid for the option to offset it. And granted, yes, now you are paying 3, 5, 6 cents more for that than what you could have. But what we don't know is we just don't know what the future is. And with as much money that is continued to be floating around, we have seen other markets go really, really high in volatility and price range. There's no reason to believe that corn can't do the same. Whether it does or not is of no consequence. We just know that it can, and we want to be prepared for that instead of seeing it at that price and then wondering what to do.
Fantastic advice. Well, Chris, I know you have great commentary. ShootingTheBull.com is your website, and your daily commentary, the midday cattle comments as well. I'm sure if folks want to learn more, they go to the website, give you guys a call. A lot of great ways to get in touch with you, isn't there?
Absolutely. And we always appreciate people calling into us, regardless of if they're interested in doing business or not. We believe that building relationships in this business is huge for everyone. We are privy to information that not other people are. We try to take that information in and then disseminate it out in a manner that might help somebody, a producer out there or purveyor of goods, to be able to make a better marketing decision.
Well, I know folks can learn more online, shootingthebull.com. They can get a hold of you guys at Swift Trading Company as well and get some advice. And we appreciate the time with that. Chris Swift of Swift Trading Company, thanks for joining us, sir. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Jesse. Thank you very much, sir.
That's all the time we have for Market Talk today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.